over and over and over and over again. And finally, after a long period of time, starting back about the time I came up here, but really intensifying and starting to get very clear to me, once the time came for destruction of the buildings in downtown New York, and I began to go back and start from the beginning, I began to look back in Genesis, first chapter. I began to run all this through my mind, back and forwards, back and forwards. I prayed, asking God to guide me and help me, because one thing I've learned since I've been here, I made a big mistake when I came here by not humbling myself. Really, it was rather stupid on my part, because I should have known. The Bible says very clearly that what we're to do is to humble ourselves. And that's why he said and told the disciples over and over again that they should humble themselves, take the lowest seat, do that. And I preached and I taught here, and I didn't preach error. I just was so intent on impressing myself and impressing others that I didn't really learn about myself until about, well, I guess it was about 9/11. And I began to realize some things, and I began to see things from an entirely different perspective. I had a problem. It was a problem everybody has. You think too highly of yourselves. And so I went through a lot of changes. But by the time I got over to, I guess it was maybe 300 left. I had been through some things, and it was, and I needed, I thought I had learned a lot, but I really hadn't. I didn't preach any error. I didn't mislead you. But I wasn't making a lot of progress myself in my relationship with God. And so I suddenly began to put all this stuff together from Genesis to Revelation. And I saw that there were some things in there in my teachings that I really had failed to apply to myself the way God meant for them to be applied. So when that happened, I began to change. And I'm still changing. And I'm having the time of my life doing it. So don't worry about me. I'm doing fine. Now, in Daniel's 70th week, seventh weeks of years, it's all tied around that. And that's one thing that traveling and going all over the world helped me with, because I thought that that thing was, that I had discovered, was something I was taught as a boy, but really didn't understand it very much when I was out in the woods. And then when I came here to the church, I began to remember. And I started going back and taking another look at it. And I realized that the problem that I was facing was that, you know, I didn't have anything to be proud about. I didn't have anything to be exceptional about. I didn't. All I was somebody that God called and God used and God taught. But in the end, it was something that I couldn't take any credit for. And I just, suddenly I realized, if you're going to really do what you're supposed to do, you're going to have to teach it from the heart. You're going to have to make people realize that this is something that is very important for them to realize and to understand, and to humble themselves before God. It's an absolute essentiality. So, all of a sudden, I began to realize that what I needed to do was just explain to people what things meant and not try to braggadocio or impress you. Just go ahead and teach the word line by line, verse by verse. I didn't change any of my concepts. I haven't changed any of my opinions. But my main problem was the same problem you have. And I'm not pointing the finger so we can all get in the same boat. But they all had to get in the same boat. Peter finally had enough sense to get out, but then he wanted to get back in real quick. And so it's really something that God wants to teach each one of us. And I suppose if I might say this freely, God is more interested in teaching the pastor and changing the pastor than he is anyone in the church. And God is no respecter of persons. So I've learned a lot. I'm a much better pastor than I ever was because I have learned to let God take care of the problems. Let him heal my soul when it's wounded, and to go ahead and just serve God in this church and love every moment of it. Now, I have not changed my mind about anything that I've taught you, but I've learned a whole lot more. I've been through a bad time. I mean, it's been a really bad time. I thought I was going crazy for a while, but that's been a physical thing that I've had. It's not a spiritual thing. And I'm getting better. You can tell from the way I'm talking tonight that I've got a better control of what I'm saying than I've had in the past. And I think I'm going to be a better pastor for you because I've learned to respond more to the head pastor, to Christ, than I've ever responded before. I don't have to have any attention. I don't have to have any recognition. I don't have to have any praise. All I have to do is to come over here and preach and teach what God's laid on my heart. And God's brought me back a long way from this time I've been in hospitals, nursing homes, and wherever, and I'm doing well. I'm doing very, very well. Now, when I began all this thing, it became readily apparent to me that all this was tied in with something that somebody, some preachers, some group, I'm not going to call them by name. I don't even know exactly how it started, except I know it was tied in with over in Israel with the Brotherhood, the Islamic Brotherhood. But I know that all this stuff that I was going through in this church and all this stuff that was going on here a while back, I suddenly realized God loves these people a lot more than I do. And he loves me a lot more than I realize. And so then I began to just enjoy it. I enjoyed coming over here, and my voice got better. My brain is slowly getting tied back to my emotions and everything about me, and so I'm doing fine. So I think we can look forward to some time where we're going to have some trouble and trials. But I just want to talk to you tonight about what's going on over there in the Middle East and why I just suddenly decided I was going to tell them, I'm not putting out any more things on the Middle East. This was at the beginning of last year. I said, I'm not going to put anything out because I said it's following a pattern. And I said, that pattern is going to continue. You're going to have more actual events where they kill a lot of people. Matter of fact, they were already killing them. And if you remember, I told you back when we were in the sixth, we were in the let me get this kind of kinked out here. We were in the sixth seal, and all of a sudden in the sixth seal, you started having a lot of bad things, really bad things. And then I realized that what I wanted to know about something and had wanted to know for a long, long time. And between myself and God, sometimes I could tell and sometimes I couldn't. But most of the time, I got it right because the Lord was teaching me and he was with me. Never any question in my mind about that. But the thing that I had trouble with was the fact that all of a sudden, in a sixth seal, it opened. And you had bloodshed all over the Middle East. I mean, bloodshed here, bloodshed there. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all those different groups over there. They were fighting, then have treaties, then fighting, then have treaties, then fighting, then have treaties, then have fighting, then have treaties, then have fighting, then have treaties. And the whole world began to change. And as a meteorologist, it was a tremendous help to me, because there were things that you wouldn't understand about what I saw going on in the atmosphere of the earth. You just wouldn't understand it. But it was absolutely so shocking to me that it taught me a lot. The atmosphere absolutely turned upside down. And what I mean is that there was a layer that was above another one that was actually colder than the one it was above. And that everything was reversed. And I started looking at all that stuff, and I said, okay, this is going to follow a pattern. And it's going to be an erratic pattern. And I said, I'm not going to really talk to them about it. And maybe I should have, I don't know. But all of a sudden, I just got to where I couldn't come over here. I couldn't do what I was supposed to do. And I knew something was affecting my mind. And I didn't know if it was God affecting my mind. It was during that time that I certainly learned that I needed to humble myself. And it was when I learned something about the Lord I had never realized before. And so I was excited about what I was doing, but I was just way off base. I don't think I taught you any heresy, but it was just stuff that I was teaching that it took a lot of effort on my part. And God had been very gracious to me, because it didn't take a lot of effort on my part. And everything was going fine in the church, and I was going fine with the Lord. But I think God wanted to teach me, Tom, do you realize that you wouldn't be able to do any of this if it wasn't for me? I mean, I realized I couldn't add to it, I couldn't take away from it. And I realized that that I needed to just let God do the teaching, let God do the preaching. And I kind of had to go through a shift in my lifestyle. And finally, it straightened out, and here I am, and I'm telling you about it tonight. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and you can wait and see if it does. The pattern had already emerged back a year ago, and when that year started, I said, I said, oh Lord, this is going to be something wild. And we were already having all kind of bloodshed in the sixth seal. The seventh seal hadn't been opened, but we were already having it in the sixth seal. And all of a sudden, I thought, man, this is wild. But it was something that was happening, and I knew why it was happening, and I knew when it was happening. And so all of a sudden, I said, I'm just going to tell them I'm shutting down for a year on trying to understand this, so I won't make a mistake in telling them. Well, I did. And I learned a lot of other things about it that I just was too proud and haughty myself. And I thought I had come to a point where I understood this, you know, just as well as maybe, not as well as the Lord did, but you know, I thought I was really something. And I'm just being open and honest with you. And I've traveled all over the world. I've been in so many preachers' houses, I've lost track long ago. And I've discovered something that really shocked me. That's the reason I like Chuck so much. That's the reason I like the preachers that have joined this church and our attendance and stuff. I don't worry about anything anymore, because Chuck is a very sincere, honest young man. And he knows his limitations. And Chuck was in the same problem I was when I first met Chuck. We just don't realize all of our problems. And Chuck's a brilliant young man. And so we've learned together, and we're still learning together. I want to tell you, this church is in good shape. And you say, well, it doesn't look much to me like it does. It does to me. because God's taught me how to look at things, what he said, what he taught. So here's where we are. You're still going to see lots of killing. And that's going to continue. It's already kicked off. And right now we're in the sixth seal. And we're waiting for the next seal to open. Well, why did all that break out so quickly? I hadn't expected that to break out until a little later on. But I suddenly realized, I've told you several times since I've been at this church. Matter of fact, after some families left, I just told them flat out and never hurt anybody's feelings about it. But I came to realize something. I came to realize that before 1730, and you've heard this so many times, I know you're tired of hearing it. Before 1730, the preachers did not believe what they're teaching now. And I remember they had taught me, and when I was in the hills up there, this preacher's name, I can't think of his name, but there's a whole bunch of them. And so when I went back up there, I started talking to some of those older preachers, and they had this stuff in their libraries. And I said, oh boy, and I began to look in there, and actually before 1730, nobody taught that Daniel 9:27 was the Antichrist. He said, Brother McElmurray, did you say nobody? That's exactly what I said. Finally, I put out an offer for $500 if they wanted to challenge me. I just give them $500 if they could prove to me that there was one. So I'll never forget, they came bringing me one, you know, and they wanted their $500. I looked at it, and I chuckled to myself a little. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Never laugh at the devil. I've also learned that. In the time I've been doing preaching, never laugh at the devil. Never. Because it's not the right thing to do. You say, well, he's bad. And I know he's bad, but I don't laugh at him. Because I'm going to tell you, that old booger's got a lot of things up his sleeve. And without the Lord, you're at his mercy. And so it's just something you need to learn as you go along. But I discovered and I went back and I got, I wrote for some books. I've got them over at whole volumes of them. That were written back in the 1720s on up through to today. And they were involved what it was going to be like correlated with Jesus. And so I began to study that and began to study that. And I came to an amazing conclusion. What they were teaching in our churches right now was flat wrong. Now, I don't mean it was heresy, but I mean it's just wrong. And I was taught that you were going to have a period of time. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen from now on. These things that are happening right now in the Middle East, the different terror groups over there have been hurt. I will tell you that Obama could have wiped them out. I have no idea why Obama has taken the path he has. He's insane. Now, he is crazy because I lived through the wars and I served in those places over there, both in the intelligence agency and in combat in Vietnam. And so I know what goes on over there. Obama had no more idea than Moody's goose. And now he says, well, you see how much the economy has improved. If Obama hadn't been in there, we would be in a much better state financially right now than we are. He held it back. There never has been any question in my mind about that. Okay, here we go. This is going to be the pattern until the actual rapture itself. The rapture of the saints. You're going to have more of these attacks conducted by wildcatter terrorists, which are supplied with details on how to go about it from the many different terrorist groups. I don't think most people have any idea how many terrorists, but man, they're loaded with terrorist groups over there. And they're real and they're genuine. And pretty soon they all get together in one big hullabaloo and then they fight with each other. From now until the seventh trumpet rapture, you're going to have more of these attacks where all of a sudden they pull a surprise attack and unite and come against Israel. At the same time, once this thing started back there with the sixth seal, once it started, it's not going to stop. So what am I saying? You're going to get little peace treaties, little agreements, wild war over here, little peace treaties, wild war over here, peace agreements here, holding fast on one over here. This one explodes, another one comes over here. That's exactly what's going to go on until the Lord comes. And when the Lord comes and takes us out of here, I don't think that God's going to allow them to do as much to us as we think he will. Am I sure of that? I'm not absolutely positive, but yeah, I'm sure of it. But this is going to be one of the wildest times the people of this earth have ever experienced. And we'll go through one where all of a sudden it looks like there's going to be a genuine peace treaty. Finally, people are tired of fighting. And you're going to have a peace treaty that lasts a short period of time, very short. And all of a sudden, the next thing that's going to happen over there that's significant, probably about 3 years from now, Israel, the king of the south, is going to shoot an arrow. He's going to come against. Well, look it up for yourself. It's over in the seventh chapter of, it's over in the sixth chapter of well, where are we right now? We're having bloodshed that started with the sixth seal and will continue. We're having treaties, peace treaties, little agreements, people being killed by the dozen after these things fall apart. We're having a world that's sick and tired of fighting. We're having a new government being formed, and people have one thing in their mind, most people. It's to find some kind of treaty over there where Bashar Assad, he's not going to last much longer. I've said that for a long time. Where the troublemakers over there, particularly ISIS, they're going to have a little breather. And then all of a sudden, even Israel is going to be lulled into a sense of false peace. But Israel is not easily lulled into false peace. I love the Jewish people, and I tell you, they're not fools. And suddenly you're going to see that Israel will realize what's about to happen. And they will be very diligent to launch the first strike. And they will attack the king of the north first. When that happens, the king of the north, knowing what they've done and already planning for it, will head south, and he will trap them in the Negev wilderness, and there they will stay until the absolute end of the tribulation period itself, as we know it, at least the part that has to do with the seventh trumpet rapture. So what's a kind of a synopsis of what I'm telling you? I don't think we've got a lot to worry about. If you watch television all the time, and if you don't keep up with it, you'll lose track of the stuff, and you'll get right in there with the rest of them and be scared to death. The ones over there that I fear the most are ISIS and Syria and not Iraq, but Iran. Here's the problem over there. The only one over there that has control of that area and can make it do anything he wants is God himself. Now, in the first chapter of Genesis, where he has that one king, or that one God, the one God of Genesis 1 and 2, he is the true God. He is above all gods, and he will fulfill the three roles of the Holy Spirit. There's no question in my mind about it. I wanted to wait until we got into this, going into this next year, and tell you, I made up my mind now. I know what's going to happen. We're going to have some of these episodes where they will actually come to some sort of an agreement, or they will come to think they're safe. And instead of being safe, peace treaties will be broken. Terror groups will actually break treaties across Europe. And it'll be a time of constant consternation. We don't have a thing to worry about. I believe that. And if you'll go back and look at my material that I started with way back in about 1974, you'll discover that I told people, I said, look, this thing is going to go wild. And I tried to give them an approximation on it. I'm now down to the point where I think I've got a real good handle on it. I think the Lord has taught me this. I can't blame him, it's wrong. It'll be my responsibility. But we're sitting right here now, and I think we're going to have a chance of seeing some of our grandchildren born. Oh, incidentally, congratulations, Brent.
Jay.
And, huh?
Jay.
Did I say, oh. Where is Jay? Did you know they had twins? Did anybody know that?
They were born yesterday.
Yeah, they were born yesterday. Well, Brent, I won't be able to see those babies sitting back there on your lap anymore. You're going to be called on a lot now. Why do I do that, April? Could you have anything to do with it?
I'm not a volunteer.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want you having a baby.
No, I don't think that's possible.
Okay. Okay. So I think we're in great shape. I think that everything's going to just fine. And the situation is going to fluctuate back and forth and back and forth. I wanted to make sure that this was going to go back and forth, back and forth. I do think we'll have a very short period of peace over there in the Middle East and Syria and and in the land of Israel itself. But then it will explode when Israel attacks from the south. And from there on in, you're going to see a really confused area. But there are going to be a lot of people running around out here. Have you noticed what a tremendous variation in opinion there is? You listen to O'Reilly, and he's got some of the craziest ideas I ever heard in my life. And oh, I like O'Reilly, but some of the others are even crazier. And I look at all those generals on there, and Lord have mercy, that is the biggest maze of confusion I've ever seen in my life. We ought to ordain Charlie and send old Charlie over there as the Reverend Ellis. You remember when you went on that trip up there north and we was going to designate you as you know a lot more than they do. I think the people in this church understand a lot more than the people out there in the real world. So you'll pray for me. Your prayers have been effective. My mind is returning to me. And I am seeing that Middle East situation a lot clearer than I did last year, at the beginning of last year, beginning of this year. So everything's looking good. I'm not nervous about it at all. And so y'all got any questions? On the way on down here?
Yeah, that body of water going up to the land, is that the Gulf of Allah?
Let's see. I have a hard time seeing over there that far.
That's some old words, but
there's that. The Great Sea, Mediterranean. And the Gulf, there's Assyria over there. And then down in here is the Gulf. Yeah, that's the Gulf of Allah. What?
God's winepress that John saw outside the city of Jerusalem will be there from the Gulf of Allah all the way up to the Tel Megiddo.
Yeah.
186 miles.
It would. But we're going to see a lot of trouble, minor treaties, big treaties, treaty failures. I voted for Trump. Because he at least stands the principle of trying to add to the economy rather than take away from it. Obama has wasted millions, and he has, if I see him in heaven, I'm going to be amazed. But I hope I don't have to write him a letter. Any other questions?
How about Russia? Did any big power that they're going to play, or is it just they're just a strong arm and seven weapons?
I can't hear you, Charlie.
And how about Russia? Are they going to play a part?
Yes, and but in my books, when I wrote them, and I particularly discussed the fact that the main emphasis had to be paid to the oil. And that's what they're after, the oil and power. And I predicted in the first book I ever wrote exactly which nations they would be. And I'm saying that not braggadocio, because it's true. Now, Russia is not going to come down there and make its final run at the Arab nations themselves. And nor is China until the very last battles. Now, you've got nations already down there in the northern part, and they're going to continue to have wars and fights and treaties and different things. But in the end, at the final battle of Armageddon, the Russians, the Chinese, and whatever other nations survive with any power at all will come down, and they will come down to get the oil, because that will be what controls the world's economies at that time. But I've always believed that. I never have tried to believe it was anything else other than the oil. But a lot of them have tried to make it a lot of exotic things that I don't really believe are true. I really don't believe you're going to have a major war down there until the very end. And when those Arab nations come down, not Arab nations, but when China and Russia come down, they'll come down for the oil. They've got plenty themselves, but whoever controls the earth's oil is going to control what's left of the earth. And so that's the thing I'm concerned about, is the oil. We've got enough oil in this country to get us through anything. So I'm not worried about us running out of oil. I'm not worried about Russia coming over here and invading us, or China. I'm not interested in thermonuclear weapons being shot at us, except by those idiots in North Korea, and they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So I think we're going to be in great shape. Any other question? Taking away our guns, our weapons. I've always been violently opposed to that, because you don't know what's going to go on in the future. You don't really know for sure how long it's going to go on. But I know one thing, a country that's armed and a bunch of men that are hunters, I've seen some of these guys could shoot the eye out of a squirrel. And I'm not that good a shot. Matter of fact, I'm terrible now, but I'm not worried about a war. Now, over there, yeah. Attacks in the United States, in different places, that would go in, kill a lot of people, and then you'd be looking around for who started it. But I don't think, and if you can go back and look at my first books, I haven't changed my mind on that at all. Because it would be very foolish for countries like Russia and China and other Middle East countries to want to destroy the oil, or to want to destroy the people, or kill all of them. It'd be very foolish for them. They want to see them fail on their own part. And by and large, that's what we're doing. If the things that are going on over there that God's watching over, God is not pleased with the people, with the rulers of this country. God is not pleased with what we're doing. And I just don't know what else to tell you, except when this all comes down to Shinola, well, you're going to discover that there won't be a war. There won't be a place where they're fighting with airplanes coming over and bombing them. I've taught this for years. I taught it ever since I came here. Look up the first book I ever wrote. It's in there, and I This is something as a soldier I just naturally believe. Any other questions? Let's go home.